Hello, this is Karen Elizabeth, Pat and Jack's baby girl, and welcome to another episode of Karen's Inquisitive Corner. Again, we are focusing on mental health for October, Mental Health Awareness Month. But mental health is something that we talk a lot about in the corner, and it's not just something to focus on in October. Today, we have a very, very special guest. The guest is actually within the Generation Z. Generation Z is between 12 to 27 years old and is actually 16 years old. And she's going to come on and she's going to talk to us about her experiences with this mental health crisis within Generation Z. We also have a guest. Her name is Erin Harris. And Erin Harris is the CEO of Undo Mindset. And it's exactly what it says, undo mindsets. Her goal is to undo negative mindsets into positive mindsets that give out positive vibes that encourage. So let's bring both of them on. Hello, Erin. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Hey, Ann. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Great. So, Erin, tell the audience a little bit about Undo Mindset.
I spent 15 years in the classroom, ended my educational career in a school shooting. It was gang related. One student shot, no fatalities. But afterwards, I sought out some pretty intense mental health help to help me just kind of process what I had gone through, where I learned really amazing skills and tools and realized that we are not teaching these things to our kiddos. Our nonprofit is really focused on two components. One is our educational system, just teaching kids how to use their brains, untwisting your thoughts to make sure your thoughts are productive and healthy. The other half of our nonprofit work is really bringing this work to marginalized communities and communities that haven't had other financial access or otherwise had access to these types of resources.
How old are you, Ann?
I'm 15 and a half, almost 16 in January.
And what grade are you in?
I'm a sophomore in high school.
Sophomore in high school. And when did you realize that your generation is in a mental health crisis?
The start of COVID, the hit of that was really a big giveaway. In comparison to COVID and post-COVID, it does seem very minute, but when I'm looking back at it as an elementary student, it definitely was a big moment.
And give us the beginning of your mental health journey through COVID and post-COVID.
I think the isolation was really hard on not just me, but also like my sister, who's a grade younger than me, and a lot of our friends that we got like very cut off from because of our mom's health issues. We had to isolate so much. We being able to see our friends, being able to see family wasn't even a thing. We had to protect our mom from the health issues. And that really, I feel like that really screwed over our mental health in a way. Starting at COVID was like, it was a very big jump start, at least for me. And I've seen it help happen with a lot of other people too.
I know educators coast to coast, and a lot of them are still saying now that they're seeing so many behavioral challenges in the classroom. Do you feel like the rationale for that is because kids are feeling academically behind because of the pandemic? Or do you feel like there's other things that are happening that are playing into that?
During my eighth grade year, I was finally back in person, and it was so hard to keep up. These teachers kept telling me, oh, your teacher should have told you this in seventh grade or sixth grade. And being in COVID, the curriculum was screwed up so badly, and it was not twisted, but like configured a little differently. And it was a lot harder to be taught and to be able to grasp onto because of the whole entire shutdown and stuff. I think a lot of the kids in COVID struggled with that, and the teachers were just sitting here like, oh, you should already know this. Keep going. It's so hard. I remember sitting there like, no, I don't know this. Can somebody please help me? And nobody would help. It was so hard.
And could you elaborate on some of the details of how you were feeling during this process?
During COVID, funny enough, this is when we discovered I had ADHD. That's when I got diagnosed with it. And that's kind of when it started. Like, that kind of became a vulnerability in my learning experience because of the way online learning was. And yes, it can be a positive, but it also made it so hard to be able to learn things in school. It made things a lot harder. I know that was really hard for me mentally because I was struggling so much to just stay on top of things. And I've always been a procrastinator, but we never really figured out that was why. I think sleep-wise, my body was growing. I was like 12, 13, 14 when this started. And I was so exhausted, right? Because I was growing. And I finally could sleep. So I was less tired during COVID, honestly. And then I got back into eighth grade in person, and it was so hard because my body was growing so much. I'm still very angry about it. The way it was handled and the way we were, like, I don't want to say neglected, but yeah, we kind of, our mental health and what was happening to us was neglected, because I remember my dad sitting here going, well, I hope you never have to raise a kid in a pandemic, versus I know this is hard. I know this is a big struggle for you. We're still teenagers. You're expecting us, you're just throwing us into the fire without any support, without any help.
And were you just overall sad and mad and not really understanding why?
100%, yes. I know, especially with my mom's health, I understood, yes, I needed to protect, like, it was a protecting my mom type of a thing with her health, but it was also really frustrating as a kid going, I've got all these friends having birthday parties still, and I'm sitting here basically locked in my house. It was so hard and so frustrating, and I know my sister felt that too. It was really hard on us.
In what ways do you feel like the internet and social media and all that stuff has either helped or not helped yours and or your peers' mental health?
It is actually, yes, it has helped. Like, the community, it's a, honestly, it has been some of the best things to have for me. Like, that's how, when I was dating somebody, that's sometimes how I was able to keep in contact with the person that I was dating, meet new people and talk to people, because I was still a very social person.
Mm-hmm.
It does have its positives. I think the problem is we don't acknowledge at how bad it is for us.
Mm-hmm.
This is like 2-ish years after like COVID really calmed down, but December last year, my 9th grade freshman year, there was this whole issue with some people, and this one girl, she was a senior, she had her boyfriend out in, I think it was Rhode Island or something, messaged me on Instagram with death threats. But it's such an easy way to hurt people and get away with it. It's just, and I think adults are like, yeah, that's the problem with your generation, your whole anonymous bullying thing. No, it's not just our generation. It's also other adults doing stuff like that. It's other adults doing things to get their hands on the kids. It's this huge issue. And I think as the older generations, they're sitting here like, yeah, that's the problem with your generation. You guys are too addicted to your phones, too addicted to social media. No, we're not. Sometimes when you're like already in a down low part of your mindset,
you believe it.
Because of all the crap is happening already, like I was, that was like the icing on the cake. That, like, I kid you not, the amount of panic attacks I had because of that. Mm-hmm. And that was just one person.
Mm-hmm.
And I had so many other things. I mean, it's just things like that, that it's like adults, like you said, it's hard on you. It's hard on adults. So why are we ignoring it when it happens to teens?
Mm-hmm.
We are not equipped to deal with this. And you guys are letting us sit here and go, yes, you are. You guys will be fine. You're resilient, blah, blah, blah. No, we're not. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I also think with adults, it is very different for us because we did not have access to the internet and access to TikTok. And sometimes as adults, or a lot of times as adults, we don't know what to say because it's not anything that we've experienced. You all are walking in those shoes. We've never walked in those shoes.
Definitely.
But we don't know. A lot of adults are not on TikTok, Instagram, you know, Facebook, and all of the things that are out there. So we're not familiar with it to be able to relate to what people are going through. But have you ever been addressed on any social media site from a stalker or anything of that nature?
Stalking, no, but like with like perverted like type adult things, yes, if that makes any sense.
And did the person just pop up on your timeline, or how did that happen?
Technically speaking, yes. And yes, I like did look for like friends online or whatever, because I was like lonely and everything, because like I felt so isolated, right? But at the same time, it also like was like they found me and were like, oh, you're an easy target, you're in a vulnerable time.
With your peers, and what do you see now? Do you still see anger? Do you still see aggression? Do you still see depression?
I see a lot of depression. I think I've seen this a lot, but the amount of kids that can rally around one kid because of the depression just goes because they've been through it. Like in band, we've got some kids that are going through some stuff, right? And so a lot of us are like rallying around them, making sure they know they're not alone. Mm-hmm. And that just goes to show the amount of us that have been through that and the amount of us that have been alone in that journey. We don't want our friends to be alone in that journey. I think it's more easy to tell as teens because we're more vulnerable to those emotions. We are more in those emotions as teens. Most of us have already felt them. Teens, we will like shut down, we will go away, and then like there's got to be somebody that notices. There's always somebody that notices in our generation, because we have been there, we've done that. And that isolation is just a way of protecting ourselves, because we felt that pain before and we don't want to feel it again. So I know for me, whenever I see my friends sitting alone and isolating or whatever, it's kind of like I see them doing that, sitting alone in the corner, listening to music, having their AirPods in, and I go, hey, are you doing okay? Blah, blah, blah. And most of the time, yes, we do have a habit of saying, no, I'm not okay. Just because of like what our parents have taught us in a way, like, be tough, be strong, don't show emotion. We're like, no, I'm fine. But once you like honestly, sometimes it's like that one person that can be like, say hi, and you're like, you actually want to talk to them, and you feel okay to tell them. And then you're sitting here like, listening to them, and they're just telling you all these problems. And sometimes when other people ask you like, hey, are they okay, and you can say they're not okay but they'll be okay, more people can rally around them. And I think that's a problem too. Adults are like, no, they're fine, go away. No, like when there's like an issue with a kid and the kid's crying in the corner and these other compassionate kids are sitting here like, hey, are you okay, I want to help. And then these adults are going, no, go away, they're really fine, I've got this.
Right.
No, you don't. You don't know us. You don't know what it's like. So stop telling us you've got this when you're just going to make it worse.
Right.
And I get the intentions of wanting to help, but it genuinely makes it worse most of the time. And when one of our band kids last night was crying and was in pain because they pushed their leg too far because it's been injured. They pushed like their body really hard and hurt their leg. And basically the whole band was rallying around them and was going, hey, are you okay? And the adults were just like, no, go away, they'll be fine. And as a band, or as teenagers, we want to be compassionate because we know what it's like to sit here and go, no, I'm fine, blah, blah, blah. But then when you're being that vulnerable and you're crying on public about those pains, even if it's physical pain, like I was talking about, it's kind of hard to sit here and listen to these adults going, they're fine, go away. My mom or my sister has been like, you don't come to me anymore because of that. And the hard part with validating feelings and going up to them, our generation, we want to, because that's the only way we feel heard sometimes, I feel like. And then we feel like whenever we go up to somebody and go, hey, this is how I feel, we don't want you to go, sucks to suck, right? We want you to sit here and go, yeah, that's totally fair. But most of the time, we're given the sucks to suck convo instead. And that's why when you guys sit here and go, why don't you talk to us anymore? Why don't you tell us this stuff anymore? You could have told me, because I don't want to, I'm not going to deal with you doing that. So I'm protecting myself. I'd rather isolate the pain and keep it internally than have you sit here and go, suck it up, buttercup, because it makes it worse.
Mm-hmm. And have you ever thought of hurting yourself?
I have, yeah. I have taken action to do that before. It's definitely been something I struggled with a lot my 8th grade year, personally. And it's definitely something that's a lot more of a sensitive topic for our generation, I feel like, because the adults go, what the is wrong with you? Mm-hmm. Why would you do that? And we're sitting here like, actually, one of these, we listen to these songs, or we different, like, I don't know if you know this, but like, teens, we listen to songs that like express our pain and our, because it's like the only way we feel heard, right? And some of the songs, one of them says something like, I'm sitting here writing on my wrist words that don't exist. Or,
say that one more time. Say that one more time, Anne.
I've been sitting here writing words on my wrist that don't exist, or something like that. The song's Words That Don't Exist by Citizen Soldier, but basically it's moments like that where you realize us hurting ourselves is the only way we feel like we can express that pain anymore. We have held it inside so long that we can't deal with the pain anymore. We need to express it. We need to feel the physical pain to validate that pain.
I do want to say, as far as adults go, we had our own internet type things. We had our own bullying. We had our own negativity. It may have been different from what you all are having right now, but we still had our own. Sometimes, and parents have not fixed themselves. So they don't know how to fix their child, because they have not addressed what they went through as a child. They don't understand what they went through as a child. So a lot of times they may say, not defending, but a lot of times they may say, oh, get over it. You know, just don't worry about it, because they feel that they got over it. But in truth, they really haven't, because they really haven't addressed it. More so why parents need to really stop and listen to their children, and sometimes heal together instead of healing separately. Have you ever had a peer or a friend to commit suicide?
I've had I've had some teachers and some friends that have had others go through that, but thankfully I haven't yet. And I think part of that is because they've been able to find the people that they need. But no, I have not really experienced that.
Where is Generation Z now mentally?
This generation will be forever changed, which is really sad to think about, but it wasn't addressed soon enough, honestly. And it can still be addressed, and yes, it can get better, but it's still always going to be a part of us. And that's going to be something that's going to really hurt us in the future. But I think a lot of us are working really hard in my generation to try and leave that in the past, because we don't want that to be our definition. But it is so hard, because it was not addressed. It wasn't addressed enough, but beforehand.
So to recap, you're saying, Anne, that you don't think mentally your generation will ever be in the mindset of pre-COVID.
I think we can always work towards it, yes, but to be back there isn't going to happen. We can work on it and we can always get closer, but I don't think, honestly, I feel like, honestly, these changes aren't specifically bad, but they're more something that can help us in the future, but also something that we can use to help our kids in the future. I do want to say, we see the hurt in the world and the bad things that came out of COVID. As teens, when we were in vulnerable moments, we were like, honestly, what is wrong with this world? How can we fix it? How can we work on it to make our world better? But how can we make our kids feel safe too in their own houses too? That's something I know I want to do when I have kids.
And one of my takeaways here is, during COVID, as a nurse and a medical professional, we focused on the physical part of COVID. how it was affecting you physically. And of course, the number of deaths, the enormous number of deaths that we had with COVID. One thing that we missed that we should have been putting on Facebook, on TikTok, on Instagram, on television, on the shows that possibly your generation would look at is self-help. We lacked the self-help during that time. We lacked the encouragement during that time. We lacked the affirmations during that time on every area, in the home, outside the home, in the community, in the churches, and also in the schools. What are you doing now to keep your mental stability?
Honestly, I've been working on like a lot of like focusing on school. And yes, that's a typical parent response. Just work on your school, just work on your studies. But actually, funny enough, it actually kind of does help because it gives you something different to focus on. Like anxiety-wise in class, I'll listen to music. Teachers like to go, take your earbuds out. Why are you listening to music? That's how we shut out the noise. I sit here and I go, what else do you want us to do? Do you want us to fail your class and take our earbuds out because we can't focus and our anxiety is so high? Or do you want us to do good in your class, learn from your class, because we were able to focus in class when we needed to?
If somebody's going to listen to this, somebody in your generation, somebody before your generation, somebody after your generation is going to look at this, listen to this, and it's going to change their mindset. Some parent is going to look at this and they're going to go back to their child and gonna say, you know what? I'm so sorry. You know, let's talk. To end it, Anne, what would you tell your generation and what do you want to leave with parents?
I want to tell the generation, my generation specifically, honestly, don't let this, these bad things that have happened to us change us too much. Because yes, it is a part of us now, but it's not our only defining future. We are all so compassionate now. We are all so mentally aware. And I think rallying around those people is what's more important than focusing on that was more of a bad thing. That's in the past now. And yes, I know that's a very basic thing to say and a very weird thing to say of that's in the past now, it's in the past, leave it in the past, even though that's such a hard thing to do. I think we need to worry about on the people that need our love right now, specifically in our generation, giving that compassion that we have learned to give because of the things we've been through mentally. And then for the parents, I'd say, honestly, the same thing, compassion. They'll just say, oh, you guys are the COVID generation. It's okay. That's normal, whatever. So why aren't you going to try and help us still? Why are you just justifying it? And I know as a parent, I want to be more open about these emotions, more vulnerable about these emotions. Like at the dinner table, doing a negative, a positive, and something random or something you're looking forward to. I like to do thorn, rose, and bud. It's thorn. It's just getting those emotions out. It's telling people at your house and being able to sit here and go, I don't want to talk about that today. Or it was a rough day. Let's not talk about it. And being sitting here going, that's okay. I mean, in my color guard, we do that. And our color guard used to be a bit of a toxic group. And now we can come up to each other and go, hey, can I have a hug? And it not be a big deal. It's things like that, like being open about it in the moment where it's kind of important. Like just sit at the dinner table with your kids when you're eating and saying, okay, thorn, rose, and bud. Thorn, what was something that was bad that happened today? Rose, what's something that was good today? Because you want to start with that negative, get it out of the way, and have two positives to go after it. And the bud is something you're looking forward to. Ask your kids something to look forward to and give them that to look forward to instead of focusing on the thorn and the negativity.
And tell the audience right now what you know that you know that you know at this time in your life at 16.
For me, it's compassion and kindness is more important, and it's the biggest gift you can give, honestly. I think I have learned that in a big way And I have been surrounded by people that had given me compassion. I've been surrounded by people that haven't. And a major difference between those people is definitely, well, it's major. It's
important. You build closer friendships and relationships with those people. You trust more. You are able to go through the hard stuff with them. I 100% agree that your life is better when you're kind and compassionate with others, right?
Yeah, and I think kindness is such a big thing. Even just saying, I like your shirt today is something that it's good for you too. It's I like saying that because then I see somebody else smile because of something kind I did. And it makes me smile. It's something that I think in our generation we need. And I think it's something in our generation we try to do, but it is so hard. So I'd say.
But it's contagious.
Compassion and kindness are, yes, contagious and honestly very mandatory for life.
Love yourself the most.
You have really been a blessing to Karen's Inquisitive Corner, and I truly appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much, Ann. Aaron, thank you. And thank you all for joining us on Inquisitive Corner. I do hope that you all got something from this very serious, emotional corner. And I hope that you're going to go out, be kind to somebody today. Listen to your children, parents. Listen to your children. I love you, and I'll see you later. Bye-bye. Thank you.